The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 20. I want to read that whole chapter because it's a unit. John chapter 20. And our text will be the verses 19 through 22. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they had not did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one on the head and one on the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. The text begins here. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side, and do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, while you have your Bibles open, I'd like to have you just look at chapter 21 and verse 14. This is after a miracle of fish. They had been on the sea and hadn't caught anything the whole night. The next day, Jesus was on the shore and He said, cast the net on the other side, and it was full of fish, 153 of them. And then they ate. And then it says in verse 14, now this was the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. I want you to remember that it says the third time. All right, before we open this passage of Scripture, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Dear Lord, thank You for the resurrection. Thank You that we serve a risen Savior and that He's in the world today. Lord, be present with us, strengthen us, give us Your Spirit and Your Spirit's unction. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends and brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ our Lord, what a glorious truth it is that we serve a risen Savior. That He is not dead, He's alive, and He is with us today. We don't see Him with our physical eye, but He is present with us. He promised, where two or three are gathered in My name, I am there with you. Jesus is here. He is never absent from us. And that's such a tremendous comfort. You know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, there were those who wondered that He was gone. And He's gone. He's not here anymore. And so the question came into the lives of Christians later, is Jesus really with us? Or is He not? Is He gone? And so in the Heidelberg Catechism, it's so interesting how they deal with this question in the context of the ascension. Because Jesus said, I'm with you always unto the end of the age. So the question is He with us still, even though He ascended into heaven? And the answer is, Jesus ascended into heaven, but Jesus is both God and man. With His physical body, He is no longer with us. But with His Spirit, majesty, grace, and power, He is not absent from us for a moment. That is a wonderful truth. That He is present with us and not absent from us for a single moment. So He's with us today, and He's with us every day, and He's with us 24/7, we could say. Now, in John's Gospel, he tells us of the appearances of Christ after the resurrection, as do Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all speak of Christ's appearances after the resurrection. Each one does it from a little different point of view. And so it's good to compare the four Gospels and their description of the appearance of Christ after the resurrection. Now John, the Gospel of John, as I noted with you, appeared to Mary Magdalene. And then the disciples that night, which was the day of resurrection that night, he met with them. Thomas was not with them. Then, a week later, he met with them again. Thomas was with them. And then, after some time when the disciples had been fishing, Jesus was on the shore and he met again with them. Only that time, it says this is the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. This is the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he arose from the grave. Now you count them. Mary Magdalene, disciples without Thomas, disciples with Thomas, the disciples at the sea. How many is that? That's four. And yet it says this is the third time. Why? Why does John say this is the third time? Here's why. John is giving the appearances of Jesus after the resurrection to the church. He's giving his appearances to the church, to the gathered church. His appearance to Mary Magdalene was so that she may announce to the church that Jesus is alive. She was given the incredible privilege of being the first ambassador of Jesus Christ to the disciples. So she brings the message. She brought the word to the disciples that he was not here, he was risen, and he had said these things to her. What an honor it was for Mary to be the ambassador to tell the disciples and make the announcement of Jesus' resurrection. But it was an individual. Mary was an individual. She was not the gathered church. Then Jesus appears to the disciples that night, and he begins his work with them with a salutation. Peace, peace be with you. Now that was not simply saying, hello, good day, how are you, like we would do. We would give that kind of greeting to someone. How you doing? And some would say, peace be with you. No, that's not what it is. Because Jesus did not say that when he met with Mary. He didn't say that when he met with the wayfarers to Emmaus. He didn't say, peace be with you. He said, peace be with you to the gathered disciples. That was the church. And he did not appear to the Jewish council. He didn't appear to them. He went by them. He appeared to the gathered disciples. That was the early church. That was the New Testament church. Jesus organized, instituted the New Testament church on the day of resurrection. And he gave them the salutation. It's the same salutation that Paul gives to the people to whom he wrote in every epistle. At the beginning of each epistle of Paul, he says, greetings, bless, praise to the Lord, or something to the of the same words that Jesus used to the disciples. And do you know that when we begin a worship service in the Reformed tradition, we begin the same way? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That is the greeting from the risen Christ. Every service, Christ greets us. He does through the minister, but it's the greeting from the risen Christ. It's a greeting from the other side. It's from heaven. It's Christ who is present here in his gathered church, and he says, peace to you. That's a very important truth. And then he showed them his hands and his side. That is the basis of the peace. Peace means that there's reconciliation between the offended God and the offending sinner, and that there's now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the finished work of Christ. Just like Paul says in Romans 5:1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know what peace means? Peace means that war is over. Peace means is that God is now smiling on us. He is smiling on us. Jesus is smiling on us. Not because we're so good, but because the blood of Jesus flowing from his hands and his side and his body covers us from all our sin. So now there's peace with God. He is our peace. He is the Passover. Just like in Egypt, the houses of the children of Israel had to have that blood over the doorposts and over the lintels, so that when the angel of death came over, there was blood over the house, so that there was peace. They could go out in strength and cross the Red Sea on dry ground because God was with them. They were covered with the blood, and that's what peace means. So Jesus said peace. He not only said peace, he gave them peace. He gave them peace with God. He gave them reconciliation. He gave them the wonderful gift of forgiveness. The wonderful gift that they were part of the family of God. The gathered church. He gives them peace. Now, Thomas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. We don't know where he was, but Thomas was one who was easily discouraged. He was not a robust person, so he wasn't with them. And so the disciples immediately went to Thomas and said, "We've seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. We have seen his hands and his side. We've seen him." Thomas said, "You gotta be kidding. I'm not gonna believe it. Not unless I put my finger into the nail print and thrust my hand into his side. I will never believe." We'll look at that sometime. But I want you to notice something. Jesus didn't immediately go to Thomas. Jesus didn't immediately go and say, "Hey, Thomas, now wait a minute. You weren't there last night. You really missed it." No, he did not. It was a whole week later. Do you know why Jesus waited? Because the church, which were the 11, now 10 without Thomas, went to him. And in the visit from those 10 to Thomas, Jesus was with them. They were the church. Their witness carried the truth. You know what family visitation is? In Dutch, we used to call it the huisbezoek. You know what huisbezoek is? You know what family visitation is? Elders and the pastor, they go to visit every family in church. They make an appointment, and it's an annual visit. Now, in that visit, it's not just a casual visit in which you talk about the tigers and the weather and the flowers and all that stuff. You might, but that's really not the purpose of the visit. The purpose of the visit is the official representatives of Christ's body come to the family and give them the greeting of the Lord and to find how are things going in this home. How is it with the children? How is it with your family devotions? How is it with your spiritual life? Now, when those men come, they are coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like Christ is making a visit at your house. Just like when you're here on the Lord's Day, Christ is present. In fact, Jesus said to the disciples, "He that hears you, here's me." So in the proclamation of the word, Christ is speaking to us. So when those disciples came to Thomas and said, "We've seen the Lord," it was like Jesus coming to them and saying, "I am alive. My church has just expressed it and told you about it." And so a week later, Jesus comes to the disciples, the gathered church. Thomas was with them this time. And immediately Jesus says, "Thomas, come here. Here's my hand. Put your finger in my hand. And here's my side. Thrust your hand into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Jesus knew exactly what Thomas had said to those disciples. He knew what he said to the representatives of himself who were visiting Thomas. And then Thomas made that beautiful confession, which all of us can make too, and should make. "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said, you believe because you saw. Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. So that's two appearances. To the disciples without Thomas, to the disciples with Thomas. And then the next appearances at the seaside, and that's why John says this is the third time he reveals himself to the disciples. That's the third. It's to the gathered church. Now, how are they going to represent Jesus? So he showed them his hands and his side, and then he says, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." You've got a job to do. Jesus is organizing the church, and he is sending them out on a world mission, a worldwide program of bringing the gospel to everybody. As Bruce mentioned in Acts 1:8, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go out and be his representatives. But how are they going to do it? How are they going to do it? Then you read, having said that, that as the Father sent me, so send I you, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. There's the power. The Holy Spirit. Christ breathed on them. Can you imagine? Can you see this in your mind's eye? Jesus with those, with his gathered church. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's like what happened at Pentecost. And Pentecost was the presence of the Holy Spirit again. But here Jesus shows that the Spirit of God comes right from him. Jesus is the source, along with the Father, of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit connects us to Jesus Christ. You know, we see that in the Lord's Supper. As we partake of the bread and of the cup, Christ, his body is in heaven, but with his Spirit, majesty, grace, and power, he is never absent from us for a moment. There in the communion of the Lord's Supper, it is the Holy Spirit that connects the risen, ascended Christ bodily with us. We are united by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives in the head lives in us also, his body. He is the head, we are his members. We're connected to Jesus just like our body is connected to our head. It is an inseparable connection between Christ and us. Do you feel that? Do you know that? Can you experience the peace that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit? There's peace with God. We are not afraid. We know that our sins are forgiven. And then we face death, or we face surgery, or we face trouble, disease. We are not alone. He is with us. He assures us, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. There is an animate, personal, mysterious union between Christ and his body. That's us. We are his people, bought with the price of Jesus' blood. And that's why, as the catechism begins saying, what is your only comfort in life and death? Not only your only comfort, but the only comfort. What is the only comfort in life and death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but I belong with body and soul to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who has fully satisfied for all my sins and who delivers me from the tyranny of the devil and who watches over me so that not a hair can fall from my head without his will. And he makes everything serve my salvation. And he gives me his Holy Spirit to assure me of this and to make me willing and ready always to live for him. That's the only comfort there is. And so Jesus says, I am with you. Peace be with you. And do you know what you read? When the disciples heard that, they were glad. They were glad. There was happiness, deep down happiness and satisfaction, and knowing that peace personally. Do you have true joy? Joy comes from knowing that our Redeemer lives and that He lives in us, and we in Him. That's why in the Psalms it says, "In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thine own to keep me near Thy side. Thy counsel," that's Thy word, "Thy counsel leads me, shows me how to live. To live apart from God is death. 'Tis good His face to seek. By refuge is the living God. His praise I love to speak." That's who He is. That's why there is joy. That's why we can say with the psalmist, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And that's why another psalm says, "How amiable and lovely are Your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. This is wonderful. To be in the house of the Lord, there is true joy, deep joy. And He says, "As my Father sent me, I'm sending you." You and I have a mandate. We've got to let our light shine. Praise God for the Gideons. Praise God for the Word which is in, translated in all these different languages. And with the technology of today, we can communicate that Word to all kinds of different peoples, nations, tribes, and tongues. The Lord has a mandate for us. And when our work is done, then He takes us to Himself. And then when I in righteousness at last Thy glorious face shall see, and all this weary night is past, and I awake with Thee to view the glories that abide, then will I be satisfied. You see, we can't lose. We cannot lose. The Lord is so good. The overflowing fountain of all good. And everybody said, amen. Lord, bless this word. Thank You that we serve a risen, living Savior. Bless us this day. Strengthen us. May we continue to enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. In His wonderful name we pray. Amen.